What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. Another Thursday, another episode of Simply Sessions. We've got our buddy Nico here. He's going to be bringing us all the latest and greatest in the news. WSJ quietly admitting that they were a bunch of douchebags and just totally outright lied. We'll cover that and plenty more. I hope you're all having a good week. It's been interesting. There's been lots of stuff going on. We'll chat about it all. But of course, this is live. Anything can happen. So I defer to my friend Bill here.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
If you have not already, please do like, subscribe, share that little like button just below the screen. Make sure you give that a little tap and share this around if you enjoy watching the show every single week. Subscribe if you haven't. What are you doing? Anyways, guys, I'm Ben with the BTC Sessions. This is your Simply Session.
HODL the Bitcoin.
All right, before we bring in Nico, first off, of course, I'm pulling up the side chat there. So get those messages coming, and we'll be taking a look at them all throughout the show. But let's take a look at where we are in the market right now. This is timechaincalendar.com. We're sitting at $34,920 per coin. A single US dollar will pick you up 2,864 sats. In terms of fees, looks like next, and we got a new block coming in there too. Fees, next block, 5 sats per byte, anytime, 4 sats per byte, anything below 1.82 sats per byte is currently being purged from the mempool, so keep that in mind. And in terms of Bitcoin that have been mined, 19.53 million of them, we just recently ticked over 93% of all Bitcoin. It's 93.01% of all Bitcoin that will ever exist have been mined. Shout out to sponsors of the show, hodl.com. If you're stacking sats and you want to do it with a few things in mind, peer-to-peer trading, instant self-custody, no KYC, it's a place to be. You can sign up with nothing more than an email address. Once you're in, choose your currency, payment method, and amount, and start stacking non-KYC sats immediately. You can also check out their peer-to-peer lending where nothing is ever rehypothecated. Be sure to check them out. Links are down below. When you do stack some non-KYC sats, you're going to want to secure them with some of the best hardware on the market. CoinKite kills it. I love everything they're doing. Guys, I got to be real with you. I just went and pre-ordered 6 cold card Q1s. they are on the way. I figure at some point I'm going to be doing some sort of a workshop. I gotta keep that shit stocked. So I pre-ordered 6, and I already had pre-ordered 1 prior. I need 2 for one for personal use, 1 for educational use, and then 5 for a potential. We'll see where they get used. But holy crap! Anyways, they're killing it. The cold card is awesome. Sats cards, tap signers, block clocks. You guys know the drill. Head to coinkite.com if you want to pre-order anything or pick up anything I mentioned. Use code BTC Sessions for 5% off everything in the store. Backups, of course, are important as well. CDOR is killing it with their steel backup solution. It is a disk and capsule design. They have put this thing through the ringer to make sure it can keep your seed phrase safe from the elements, fire, water, corrosion, all of that. And it's beautiful. It's done so well. I've done a video on it if you want to learn a ton about it, but it's super awesome. The starter set comes with everything you need for 1 or 2 full seed phrases. And if you ever need to replace them, just grab more discs and you can swap out the seed. Anyways, check them out. Links are all down below. Depending on where you want to ship it to, make sure you pay attention to which one you're using so you get the best rates. Nunchuck has you covered for your assisted multi-sig needs with their Honey Badger program. It is awesome. You can set up a fully just everything you need when it comes to multi-sig on your mobile device with their app. You can use things like TapSigner, Cold Card, and a ton of other options for hardware. Once you set it up, they hold one key, you hold the rest in a multi-sig quorum. You have baked in inheritance planning, so your sats get to your next of kin, And the whole thing also is non-KYC, so you don't need to give up your private information to set this up and have it work for you. Check them out, nunchuck.io. And finally, shout out to start9.com, your plug-and-play solution for sovereign computing. You can run your full Bitcoin stack on this, your private information, things like Bitcoin Core, Lightning, mempool.space, JoinMarket, files, passwords, photos, Nostr clients, and relays, all that. They have a ton of different options when it comes to devices. They've got everything from entry level with the Lite node. The Server 1 is kind of your mid-tier. And what I'm running is the Start 9 Server Pure, which they've just discounted by about $200. And if you use my code, BTC Sessions, with a little plus sign at the end, you'll get a further 18% off. So check them out, start9.com. And with that, enough of my rambling. Let's get Nico in here. Let's chat news. Let's see what's up.
Buddy. Yo,
it's good to see you.
It's good to see you too, bro. I'm being held hostage. just kidding. I'm on the move, but I brought everything with me. So
you're globetrotting here.
The show doesn't stop. Look, we have you in the background. You know, it's a nice little.
I love that show.
It's a great show. It's one of my favorite.
Oh man, I got to give a shout out to Mike, friend of mine in the chat. He's running a Start 9. He was sharing some pictures of his and he did it self-sovereign too. He built it himself and put it on like a mini PC. I'm not sure exactly what he's running, but it looked awesome. So shout out to Mike running that Start 9.
Yeah, huge fan of Start 9 myself. That's why I personally use. Big fan of Matt and everything they're doing over there.
Yeah,
they're sovereign computing, man. It's the way to do it.
Way of the future.
The way of the future.
Dude. So what's been going on? What's happening this week? There's lots of stuff.
Bro, I mean, what does, like, there's all, you know, I always get this fear because, like, Simply is a news channel that, like, on Monday, I'm like, we're going to have nothing to talk about this week. Like, nothing, nothing. And then there, I swear to God, the news cycle never lets you down. There's always something crazy around the corner. Just kind of like a series of events. I think this tweet like perfectly summarizes it. For anyone who's been paying attention to Simply Sessions, dude, the first time in Simply Sessions history, the previous episode, we spent the entire episode talking about essentially the PSYOP that was happening, but more news started to break out, which was not only did the Wall Street Journal retract the article, but also Elizabeth Warren not only doubled down, but she finally said the quiet part out loud, right? Mm. And we've been speculating that that's what they've wanted to do for a while. We've come up with these extravagant theories. We've tried to like push it together and like all that stuff, but we've never really had a full confirmation. You know, it's always been like us speculating, us like saying like, look guys, like you can't come to another conclusion. But I don't know if it was a Freudian slip. I have no idea. But one of my favorite features of Bitcoin that I think a lot of people are just not aware of is how Bitcoin exposes incentives. And I think for like, finally, she was pressed into a corner enough where she just said it out loud, exactly what she wants to do, right? So anyways, let's go through the series of events first. So this is Elizabeth Warren stared up the hornet's nest. I don't want to beat a dead horse. We went over this. But here is the official retraction by the Wall Street Journal. Nick Carter puts up a really good point. He says, when the one report which you cited exclusively in your letter to the White House issues a correction, I think you lose the right to say it's not about one report. And of course, that is a quote by Elizabeth Warren. And she was asked on Monday night, hey, now that the report that you used to send a letter to the White House, it, you know, is retracted, what do you have to say about that? She's like, it's not about one report. What other report then? And then the Bitcoin senator comes in hot and she has her own form of memetics. And I mean, like, look, like, I think this perfectly summarizes it, right? So crypto assets account for less than 1% of global illicit finance, right? Less than 1%. But if you were to believe the letter that was sent to the White House, the proposal by the FinCEN, Elizabeth Warren's rhetoric, it's a lot higher than 1%. That's the picture she's trying to paint. But when you look at the reality, The fact is that the majority of global illicit finance is done through the traditional legacy financial system. Why aren't they focusing on that? I mean, I think it's obvious why they're not focusing on that, because Bitcoin is the separation of money and state. And that's what it's really about. I don't think it has anything to do with money laundering. I don't think it has anything to do with terrorism. I don't think these people are really concerned about the facts. I think that they're more concerned about keeping their privilege of being able to create money for free that the rest of us have to work for. But anyways, the good news is she finally said the quiet part out loud. And to paraphrase Pierre Richard, he said, Elizabeth Warren spread disinformation to exploit a crisis. It's backfiring and now undermines her misguided anti-Bitcoin agenda, right? So it all the bills that we're going to get into that she's proposed, the FinCEN regulation, all of that is now completely called into question about the sincerity of those rules. What are the actual motivations behind the that type of regulation? Anyways, here's the clip of Elizabeth Warren finally saying the quiet part out loud.
Last year, you wrote that, quote, in their attempt to avoid being traced, illegal actors have adopted ever more sophisticated cryptocurrency technologies, such as non-custodial wallets.
Bro, like, is that worthy of a repeat, Ben? Like,
I think so. Let's do it one more time.
Like, yeah.
Last year, you wrote that, quote, in their attempt to avoid being traced, illegal actors have adopted ever more sophisticated cryptocurrency technologies, such as non-custodial wallets.
Illegal actors are isn't self-custody the default?
I was going to say this off the top of the show, but Nico, you look quite sophisticated.
And is it the tip?
I think so. And also, I think a lot of the people in the chat are equally sophisticated. In fact, I consider myself relatively sophisticated. And I think it warrants sharing, but be sophisticated, self-custody. I think we could all be sophisticated. Up your game. Come on, guys.
We just gotta this, bro. If enough of us raise up our sophistication, we're gonna win.
Yeah, I mean, we're a sophisticated bunch. We're learning.
Bro, I mean, but like, I can't believe, you know, because what she's saying, she's not stupid. Yeah. She's basically trying to commingle self-custody with crime, right? Like, that's what she's saying. And like, you know, that's where we are in the movie. That's pretty crazy rhetoric. That's serious, right? Because you know where it's going to be like 3 or 4 years from now. You're a financial terrorist because you wrote down 12 to 24 words.
Yeah.
You know, like
How insane is it, the idea that if you don't give your money to us for us to guard it, you must be a criminal.
Yeah.
Like that's what she's insinuating here. If you dare not give up full custody to the fruits of your labor, then you must be a terrorist.
100%. And she's scared, right? Like this is like when Christine Lagarde's video of the CBDC, you know, this Elizabeth Warren video, she's scared. This is the separation when he said, look, you hit the nail on the head. The fact that they can't easily confiscate wealth at the like snap of a finger terrifies them. Government isn't a monolith, but let's say people that are part of certain governments, it terrifies them. Like Christine Lagarde uses the word, she uses the word escape valve, right? Mm-hmm. They hate the escape valve. They can't put up with it. And then this calls into the question her bill, right? Which was it's a bipartisan bill. It's sponsored by Senator Marshall, Warren, Manchin, Lindsey Graham, and many others. And we've read you guys this bill before, but it's interesting because here it is again. Address a major gap with respect to unhosted digital wallets, right? Which allow individuals to bypass AML and sanctions checks, right? So it's like, we can't allow you to take self-custody because, you know, terrorism, because of money laundering, because of, you know, all these reasons. But when you actually look at the data, it's very, very clear that the vast majority of global illicit finance is using their very system in which those control features are in place. But why is that not talked about, right? Yeah. If all those things, like they always talk about this, AML, sanctions, blah, blah, blah. Look, despite all of that, despite all of those controls, people still prefer to use the legacy system and not Bitcoin. And mm-hmm. that just tells me that it's just not a sincere argument. This is really about just killing or maiming the competition that they now have. And they can't just get rid of how they usually would.
Yeah. The term unhosted wallet, the term is so malicious in its very creation, in that it denotes that you're lacking something that is needed, and it normalizes the idea of deferring the responsibility of your money to others. And I think we need a term that is equal, like meant to equally target these assholes and what they're trying to do. And so I propose, and like just off the top of my head, I think if you have Bitcoin that is not in your own custody, we should be referring to it as unsecured Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not secure. You've not secured it yourself. It's unsecured. So it's like people hear that and they'll go, oh, that sounds bad. That's because it fucking is. It's not good to give up custody to somebody else. You don't have control of that. Like uncontrolled or unsecured or whatever we decide. Something is what it needs to be referred to when you don't have custody of your own shit.
Exactly. No, 100%. We have to use their tactics of like attacking the language, essentially, like co-opting the language, using terms like unhosted wallet. Elizabeth mm-hmm. Warren right there, she's literally saying they're using sophisticated methods of taking self-custody of their Bitcoin. Like it's so absurd, but I agree with it because this is, at the end of the day, it's information narrative trench warfare. That's really mm-hmm. what it is all about. And it's really about, you know, capturing the hearts and minds of individuals and really getting them to understand, right? And mm-hmm. I think what Elizabeth Warren is like hoping is that she's hoping that this rhetoric or this, you know, this little clip that she made and whatnot is going to fall on uninformed voters and uninformed viewers, right? She's gonna be like, yeah, oh my God, she's totally right. Listen, Elizabeth Warren is up for re-election next year. If you live in Massachusetts, this person doesn't want you to take self-custody of your Bitcoin. Maybe you should start asking questions. Anyways, this leads me to my final point on this, which is they will think twice about using legacy media to attack Bitcoin now. In the age of social media, the old tricks don't work anymore. I think that this is just a testament of how empowered people are in the information age, right? We've seen the Christine Lagarde get fact-checked. We've seen Joe Biden get fact-checked. We've seen politicians get, you know, like community noted, better said, yeah. Right? You now have a voice. Now you could write in the comment section. You can make a video rebuking that. And they've never had that before in their entire existence. And I think that if it wasn't for social media, this sophisticated PSYOP attack by Elizabeth Warren and her media allies would have been successful. But yeah. Because of social media, the Bitcoin immune system reacted so quickly and so viciously that it just jujitsued her move, and it just made her look like you misrepresented yourself and you lied. Mm-hmm. And you haven't been sincere about this thing this entire time. And then that could have led to her finally just saying exactly what she wanted, which is like, yeah. Look, you just can't take self-custody. That's that, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyways.
I think you're right. Like social media has changed the landscape of how we get information and how easy or how difficult it is now to just have the, like, pull the wool over everybody's eyes because you control everything. And part of that is only because there's so many people on Twitter now, and it has been kind of ripped from the control of the US government in the past months. But that's not to say that it can't be co-opted again in the future. However, we're now witnessing a shift of social media again, where we're seeing Nostr effectively becoming an alternative social layer. And it's so early, but at the same time, you can't go and control that narrative on that platform, right? You can make a lot of noise and you can try, but you cannot control it. And this is something that, you know, luckily right now, I love the community notes thing on here and everything, but it's not to say that that can't be co-opted down the line, right? When you're deferring to the people in charge, you're just one change of the old guard away from, you know, the same draconian rules that you had before. And so I think that, you know, if we lean hard into Nostr, if we can make it so that people realize that this is kind of how free speech was supposed to come about, that that it'll be even harder to try and do what they currently do on the regular.
100%. And, you know, what you said about one changing of the guard, you know, they have Elon Musk in their crosshairs right now. Like, you know, and again, like, we're relying on Elon Musk to stay moral and ethical and whatnot. But it just kind of reminds me of the Bitcoin ethos, right? It's like, don't put yourself in a position where you have to trust a third party, right? Yeah. And I think platforms like Nostr, networks like Bitcoin really highlight that, right? Which is like, it doesn't matter who hates this thing. They can't stop you from using it, right? And that's what makes it very powerful. So, like, even though Elon Musk has been pro freedom of, you know, speech in some senses, he's not perfect, far from it. But, you know, that's not to say that, look, like, he's had so many allies. I mean, so many enemies. He's made so many enemies because he's allowed this type of debate on Twitter where they used to control it. And I'm really glad that you brought this up, Ben, because I actually have a video of the now speaker describing essentially really how bad it is and how bad it was, better said. And like what I say is, please put the political rhetoric aside, because that's what politicians do, is they always make it about right or left. Mm-hmm. But not only does he highlight how bad it was, but remember, this is the same government that wants you to trust them with an American version of a central bank digital currency, right? So if they can't even help themselves but to censor speech and information, what makes you think that they're not going to weaponize the money, right? If they, and in a, specifically in a country like the U.S., where in the First Amendment of the Constitution, free speech is literally protected, government couldn't help themselves but to censor it for political means. Anyways, let's check out the clip.
What you've documented carefully in the Twitter files are a couple of key facts. You'll hear, people will hear a lot of things today, but this is what they need to know. The federal government, from Democrat members of Congress to intelligence agencies, including the FBI, used Twitter and other social media companies to censor Americans' speech. If the alarm bells are not going off, then you're not paying attention. Over the past 3 years, documents show, they prove what you guys have uncovered here, is there's communication between Twitter and the FBI. It was constant, it was pervasive. Twitter was basically an FBI subsidiary before Elon Musk took it over. The Twitter files revealed that by 2020, Twitter was engaged in open information sharing with the intelligence community, and now we know there were many intelligence agencies apparently involved in this. The FBI pressured Twitter to act on election-related tweets leading up to the 2022 election. Of course, they did it in 2020 as well, and Twitter dutifully censored content as a result. Twitter executives restricted accounts. They censored speech that conflicted with the left's narrative. Twitter has used its internal tools to control and manipulate considered speech considered misinformation, and who was determining that? It was the government bureaucrats. Documents show that Twitter used visibility filtering to restrict certain accounts and posts and removed people from the platform altogether. The Twitter files should be a matter of bipartisan concern for every member of Congress and every American citizen, because it is a bedrock principle of our constitutional system that the government does not get to decide what speech is acceptable or true. Under the First Amendment, Americans have a right to speak freely, regardless of whether their speech upsets the preferred narrative. In fact, that's when it needs the most vigorous protection. Everybody on the left used to believe in that, or at least they.
So again, I think the politicization, that's a very difficult word, but the right has had a history of censoring the left in the United States as well, right? During the McCarthy era in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. So it's not about, you know, whether the left is in, you know, position of power and they censor the right, or the right is a position of power and then they censor the left. It's about using a protocol in which, regardless of who's in power, they can't censor the other side. And then that becomes a forcing function, because if you can't censor the speech that you dislike, that makes your ideas look bad, you have to now debate them on the free market of ideas. And that makes it a lot more difficult, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm glad that you brought that up. And it's Elon Musk, thank God, right? For now. But what if he goes nuts in 5 years, right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. Anything could be, or he decides to go with Dogecoin as the financial backing of X, and decides any discussion around Bitcoin is no good. So any variety of things could happen. Or again, you start criticizing him for something else, and that speech gets again stomped on. As soon as you rely on people at the top, you're just asking for trouble eventually.
100%. So this leads me to the breaking news. We didn't have a chance to cover this last week during Simply Sessions, because we were covering the Elizabeth Warren news. The Argentina election results came in, and it seems like Javier Milei, which is the Austrian economist, libertarian candidate, he did not win. Now, the good news is that he did not lose either. Apparently, it is going into a runoff later this year, specifically in November, so this month. But it really was kind of like a reality, an awakening to me. And I said this. I said, not going to lie, Milei not winning is extremely disappointing. Either some funny business or people chose to keep the party in power whose policies have led to more than 100% inflation. Either way, we got a lot of work to do, Bitcoiners. To be fair, the runoff between Massa and Milei is November 19th. But after tonight, forgive me if I'm skeptical. Now, put the funny business aside, because there's no evidence of that. This part blows my mind. People chose to keep the party in power whose policies have led to more than 100% inflation. And that, to me, tells me that there's a cultural, like, this is deeper than we have better monetary policy, we have better money, we have better economic issues. The fact is that there's so many people in Argentina that have lived in the fiat matrix for so long that even though the party in power whose decisions have led to this 100% inflation, they're so addicted to that free fiat money that they're scared of voting that out, right? And I think this leads to a deeper question, which is we have a lot of work to do as Bitcoiners to change the culture, to make it popular to take personal responsibility again. Because if we don't do that, people like Elizabeth Warren can get away with rhetoric like taking self-custody is a danger, right? And these types of disappointments will continue to happen, because this just tells me that people are just addicted to the money printer, bro. Like that's what it is. Like the handouts, like they're just like, yeah, give them to me. It's like they don't realize it's coming out of their back pocket. They're just like, yeah, I'm getting it. It's awesome. It's amazing, you know?
When a government has control of how its populace is educated, it's very easy to direct your constituents into a way of thinking where they believe that the state is necessary for the society to function. And it's necessary to be given things and for capital to be reallocated, and that somehow makes them better off. But in reality, were the state to step aside, in most instances, people working together as a community would, and let's be honest, just the human nature where, yes, if somebody does something and steals or you know, harm somebody, then of course there's going to be consequences. But if you get to a place where society can organize itself and people are free to build and, you know, transact and interact as they see fit, society will come up with solutions for all of these things. And people that work hard and people that can build will be able to create incredible products and services and meet the needs of people in the most efficient way possible. Because if they do not, then somebody else will come along and beat them to it. And so, like, I'm a firm believer that in an environment where there's, of course, rule of law, you can't go and steal people's shit and you can't go and hurt people, but people are free to go and transact and you know, create their own economy without any government intervention, that is always the best path and the most efficient path and the path to the most human flourishing.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. It's just, it was Daniel Prince that said it, and he was just basically like advocating against like what he used a very strong word, which is like indoctrinating, which is like what he would, it was, is like public schooling is essentially the equivalent of indoctrination.
Yeah.
Right. But I just think we have so much work to do. I think, you know, this, it caught me by surprise just based on the, you know, the results of the primary, yeah. But, I think that, you know, we got to wake up and just realize, like, this is really about winning over the culture as well as, you know, it's not just about having sound money, right? Mm-hmm. That's great. But, like, unless, like, we all want to move to El Salvador, right? You know, we really have to convince other people that Bitcoin truly is the better way, that it's not left versus right, that it's just, it's the party of orange versus the party of green. Right. Mm-hmm. And what side do you want to stand on, regardless of whether you call yourself a liberal, progressive, communist, socialist, fascist, Bitcoiner, whatever, you know, all of that stuff. Like, Bitcoin doesn't care about ideologies. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. Bitcoin is for everyone, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways.
Yeah. I do think that we get to the point first, probably, where we see citadel like states and communities where like-minded people get together and, you know, live in a way where, again, there's actual true free markets. And I think that people that move to this kind of Bitcoin standard and this Bitcoin ethos, and again, it's more of a libertarian ethos than anything, but I think that you'll see, now that there's a direct economic incentive that can't be co-opted by the state, you'll start to see those communities thrive.
Yeah. And we're going to definitely need some really big walls and a lot of guns.
build that wall.
Oh man. Okay. All right. So, moving on to, we were talking about Elon before, and we were talking about how you'd essentially want to make Doge like the back end of, you know, of X.com, of Twitter. And, you know, it seems like a joke, but like I wouldn't put it past him. But it seems like he has, you know, he wants to make X.com a financial platform, which like the road to hell is paved in good intentions type of thing, because it's like, yeah, it's so convenient. It's all in one app. But at the same time, it's like personally, and I know Ben, you've said some interesting things on Twitter. I don't know if I want my financial stuff tied to me saying Bitcoin or slavery. Like, oh, let's shut off his bank account. That can't be saying that type of stuff, you know? So yeah, I just think this is bad. The headline is Elon Musk gives ex employees 1 year to replace your bank. It says, goes on to say, quote, you won't need a bank account. It would blow my mind if we didn't have that rolled out by the end of next year. And then it goes on to say Elon Musk wants X, formerly known as Twitter, to be the center of your financial world, handling anything in your life that deals with money. He expects those features to launch by the end of 2024. I just think that this is such a bad idea, especially with what we know governments want to do with CBDCs and the fact that this is a centralized entity. Look at what happened to Facebook's project, Libra and Diem. Mm-hmm. It got shut down really, really, really quickly because governments found that threatening. Are you telling me they're not going to knock on that? They already hate the guy, right? Yeah. Are you telling me they're not going to just shut that down real quick under the guise of stopping money laundering and such?
You know what? This might be his orange pill moment, hey? This might be the moment where he tries to do, he has, you know, assuming he has the best intentions, he might try and do this. And then he's going to realize what an absolute clusterfuck compliance is. And he'll realize, listen, this is why Bitcoin is necessary. You know, something that cannot be changed, that cannot be aware of the rules, in which there's no one to point to, no CEO to call, no team of developers that you can have roll something out and coerce people to use. This might be his moment. We'll see. Let's check up on it in late 2024 and see how he's doing.
Yeah, 100%. All roads lead to Bitcoin. And it's like, if he doesn't come to that conclusion, because, you know, every PayPal started with that intention. Facebook started with that intention. Obviously, mm-hmm. the financial system isn't as efficient as it should be. How do we make it better? But what ends up happening is the government regulators come on knocking the door and then they Frankenstein it, you know, because they want to control it. They want to control the flows of money. Right. So anyways, I thought that was interesting. And then we got a couple minutes, Ben. So I might as well talk to you about this because you are I would consider yourself a hardware expert. I don't know about you, bro, but I think this is a disaster. And for anyone who's listening, the article is Ledger now lets you pay $9.99 per month to ID your cold wallet seed and send it to trusted third parties. It goes on to say, today is the day I'm glad to announce that our secure wallet recovery solution, Ledger Recover, provided by CoinCover, is now available for Ledger Nano X users. The service, which notably failed to launch earlier this year due to community backlash, will cost its users $9.99 per month after the first free month. It goes on to say, when you subscribe to Ledger Recover, a pre-BIP39 version of your private seed, private key is encrypted, duplicated, and divided into three fragments, with each fragment secured by a separate part company, CoinCover, Ledger, Escrow Tech. When you want to get access to your wallet, two of the three parties will send fragments back to your Ledger device, reassembling them to build your private key. Now, I was saying about the road to hell is paved in good intentions, but maybe I'm just simple-minded, but this sure sounds like paying $9.99 for a government backdoor into your hardware wallet.
It's insane, man. Okay, I get that their initial thinking was people are worried about backups and people are worried about how to secure their seed phrase. And we think that we should be able to do this in a way that is very streamlined and easy to recover if something happens. But when you think about how, number one, how this works, it's like, oh, you got to prove who you are so that you can get access to the fragments. I mean, number one, how good is that process really? I guess we'll find out. Number two, the CEO of Ledger literally in an interview when asked if the government could demand that they hand over the fragments, he said, well, I mean, I suppose if the government came, then we'd have to comply. What? Like, what are you? Okay, then, like, that's okay. I'm gonna spill the beans here. I've got a new service, actually. You just send me your seed phrase, and it's only $4.99 a month. And I'll just keep that thing for myself. And it may or may not be more secure than Ledger. I guess we don't know. I haven't open sourced it, so you'll find out.
Like what you're saying is like it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You're trusting a third party who's beholden to the state, right? Because they're a company. Yeah. To not give over your money. Look, I bet you Elizabeth Warren is a huge fan of Ledger. I bet you maybe if you looked into her tax, whatever, she's an investor in Ledger. I'm totally making that up, but I would not be surprised if that was discovered.
I've just been undercut in the chat. CJ said he'd do it for $3.99. Shit, my business model's ruined. Guys, this is like, if those that have seen Something About Mary, this is like the 6 minute abs thing.
Dude, it's, oh man. Okay. And then one more thing, okay, which is Ledger is closed source. So how are they able to do this? You don't know how they're able to do this, right? And if your wallet has that type of capability, right, what else is kind of built into that thing? You don't know. You're trusting. I loved Ledger. Ledger was my first hardware wallet. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I heard, I think I hit you up.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, like, bro, like this is kind of sketchy, right? So yeah, man. This is not good.
I think we should toss out there that okay, if you're in the boat where you have a Ledger and you're finding this concerning and you're like, shit, what do I do? You don't have money to go out and get new hardware. What I would say is if you're concerned about this, go take your Ledger and use it with different software. You don't have to use Ledger Live to use your Ledger. So download Sparrow Wallet, sparrowwallet.com. Download Sparrow Wallet, and then you just go file new wallet, and then you'll be able to import it and just like plug in your Ledger, and you can see your entire Ledger account there in Sparrow Wallet. You'll be able to use it just as normal, but you're not relying on their software. And so then there's no like call home through the Sparrow Wallet software, which is open source. And it also has a ton of other great tools that you can use with your Ledger that you may not have even known your Ledger was capable of. So for the time being, if you don't want to be using Ledger Live, go use Sparrow Wallet with your Ledger and you'll be just fine.
100%. 100%. But I didn't want to spook anybody in case anyone had a...
Yeah.
Is using specific wallets at home. But yeah, man, this was a lot of fun. It's always a pleasure to come on Simply Sessions. And yeah, thanks, Ben.
Dude, thank you for being here. Thanks for filling us all in. I'll catch up with you, I guess, next week.
Yeah. Next week, let's do it. All right, it's my favorite part. This was your Simply Sessions.
All right, later, man.
See you later.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Thank you for being here. Now, don't tune out yet. We've got a few more things. I want to keep you updated on the latest and greatest in tech, hardware updates, all that good stuff. Let me get my screen up here first. And by the way, I've got my fancy space heater on in the background. So it may boot on here in a second to warm up the room. So excuse the sound of freedom in the background. Oh, there it goes. So you get to listen to that for a minute. Anyways, besides the point, this is BitcoinDev.org, or rather this is No BS Bitcoin, but they're talking about BitcoinDev.org. And what is this? This is a website specifically for developers in and around Bitcoin and Lightning resources. And it was put together by somebody that I think you guys should be aware of. He's an incredible dude. He was integral to my understanding of Bitcoin very, very early on. His name is Vortex, and he ran a YouTube show back when I got started, and he was gracious enough to have me on very early when I knew far less about Bitcoin than I do now. And he's just an absolute asset. So if you want to check it out, if you're a developer, it is a very technical website, but it says you can find links to the latest, most popular libraries in your favorite programming languages and get started building Bitcoin into your own application. So check it out, bitcoindev.org. Hats off to Vortex. What an absolute living legend. And he just joined Noster, by the way. So if you're on Noster, make sure you follow Vortex. He's incredible. I'm hoping that this is his way of saying, I'm back. I hope so. Vortex, if you see this, come on the show. I want you back, man. Okay, Minibits version 0.1.3 beta, LNURL pay and withdraw zaps, onion mints, all this good stuff. So what is Minibits? Is basically Chaumian eCash on Lightning. I've done a video on eNuts was the other one that I covered that I did a tutorial on. Anyways, trade-offs, but excellent privacy with this stuff. So what's new? They have Lightning, Cashew, LNURL, and LNURLP deep links. I don't know what LNURLP is, to be honest. Allows paying to static QR codes, links, and Lightning addresses, including Noster Zaps. Allows withdrawing into the wallet from services supporting LNURL withdraw. There's a universal APK, so that means you can install it without needing an app store. And another neat use case is you can run your own mint without the need to have a public IP address on and domain. You can expose it via Tor service that the wallet can connect to without additional networking setup. So anyways, I'm probably going to do a video on Minibits soon, but if you haven't checked it out, check out eNuts. That's the most recent Chaumian eCash thing that... and CJ in the chat let me know that P is pay, of course. Moving on, StartOS, they are now under the MIT license. That means fully open source. They did have a non-commercial license before, which, to be honest, I don't really in around that stuff. I know some people are very much purists. For me, I don't particularly care around the commercial stuff. It's, can anybody audit the code, make sure it's doing what it says it's doing? I think that's very important to me. But number two, being able to fork it and use it as you see fit if you want. I think that's also very important. The commercial stuff doesn't matter as much to me, but those that are absolute purists, this is a very big deal to a lot of people. So basically, StartOS by Start9 has recently been switched to the MIT license, allowing its users to complete freedom to tinker with the product. That's what Bitcoin was published at, and in our opinion, is the only true free license. That's from Matt Hill from Start9. StartOS no longer belongs to Start9 as a company. We are its stewards. We are its engineering team. We're going to pour our lifeblood into it, but from a proprietary stance, we have the same rights as everybody else in the world, he added. Of all reasons to support the Start9 team, I mean, they're pouring their heart and soul into it. Obviously, they build plug-and-play devices. You don't have to use those. You can build it yourself and just use the software entirely for free. Or you can fork it and you can sell a product using it, which, wow. But beyond that, if you do want to support them, then buying a product from them, you get like the absolute best and most responsive support 24/7 in the game. They're awesome. They're so responsive whenever anybody has an issue with their Start device. So yeah, anyways, they're awesome. And I agree. Think Orange in the chat says Matt Hill is a legend. Fully agreed. Anyways, let's move on here. Liana, this is something I just kind of learned about recently. It was on No BS Bitcoin as well, but I figured I'd just pull up the website. So this is a simple Bitcoin wallet leveraging on-chain time locks for safety and recovery. So basically, my understanding of this is you can give your assets to people, loved ones, whatever, like next of kin, but you can do it in a way where you don't even need a third party. And the way it works is that you have a key that can effectively only be utilized to unlock the coins at a certain point in the future. And so you can give that key to family members and then it just auto unlocks at a certain point. And you can also change all the different ways that you can do this. It works with multi-sig, but basically it's utilizing time locks in order to use it in an inheritance planning way. Or just to kind of like hedge yourself against, oh, what if I lose my key? Well, don't worry. There's another key that won't work now, but at some point in the future, whatever you set the time lock to, it will become available. So you haven't lost those Bitcoin forever, but just temporarily until the new key comes into effect. So interesting. I'll probably play around with it and learn about it a little bit, maybe do a video. Moving on, Wicked. Love this guy. What a legend. I'm super happy that we have more people making video tutorials out there. But anyways, he dropped a new tutorial. He demonstrates how to check, delete, and recover a Bitcoin seed phrase on a cold card signing device, and also how to recover the seed phrase on a passport and on a Jade. And finally, how to recover the seed phrase and sweep all the funds using Blue Wallet. So be sure to check that out and follow him at W_Bitcoin stands for Wicked Smart Bitcoin. Anyways, check it out. He's also on YouTube. Give him a follow over there. Doing really good work. Also, Nico from Consensus Network at OmniFinn, F-I-N-N, on Twitter. He said, "What am I working on? Glad you asked. It's the first Bitcoin fiction anthology. Should be ready by Christmas. It's been a long time since I was so excited about a project, and it's called 21 Futures. It looks awesome. I'm super excited about this. Again, like a fiction anthology, Bitcoin fiction is something I've been really, really waiting for. I think there could be some really cool futuristic tales to tell of how different Bitcoiners envision the future playing out on a Bitcoin standard. So I will be watching this closely, and I can't wait to see some of this stuff drop. And again, like the AI generated art that's playing here. Yeah, super stoked about this. Hey, question for you guys. What are your most used Bitcoin apps currently? I was curious about this. I put this up on Twitter. I had a lot of cool responses. My current schwack of Bitcoin apps that I'm using a lot right now, Phoenix, Nunchuck. I've got the progressive web app for my Start 9, timechaincalendar.com as a progressive web app, CoinMiles for earning sats back when I'm spending fiat for what little fiat I do, Green Wallet because they have now the integrated Lightning on-chain and Liquid and hardware, Zeus with its new rollout of the native Lightning node on the phone, as well as integration with any Lightning nodes you may be running. Mutiny, which I'll talk about that in a second. Of course, my this is not Start 9 in the bottom. That's my actual S9 miner, which is sitting behind me, heating my office. It's quite toasty in here right now. I'm curious. What are yours? Let me know. And you can even just take a little screenshot of it and tweet at me or hit me on Nostr, preferably. Would be awesome. Let me know what you're using and if there's something that I should be checking out that I don't know about. If you want to help out a fellow content creator, go and check out Geyser Fund for Kinetic Peru. So KinetiPeru. This is Kinetic Finance or Julian. He is doing something called Peru's Bitcoin Revolution, a Kinetic Finance documentary, a film exploring how Bitcoin is igniting a revolution in Peru, transforming isolated and independent indigenous communities to architects of their own destiny. He goes through kind of his recent trip to Peru with Running with Bitcoin, and he breaks down his goal. He wants to go back and do some filming and everything and put together all of the stuff that he's been doing. And he does just incredible, incredible work. I've already seen a bunch of people that have been donating, including Rick from Crypto Cloaks, just dropped 1.4 mil sats and BTC pins, 1.4 mil sats as well. And Rick literally just threw in an extra couple thousand sats so that he could be ahead of BTC pins in the leaderboard, which is awesome. Go and contribute because dude is doing amazing work. If you haven't seen his prior work, it's it's amazing, but be sure to give him a follow at least. Kinetic Finance, YouTube, Twitter, Noster, all of that. And speaking of Rick from Cloaks, shout out to Cloaks. They have been shipping S9 space heaters like madmen. He ordered a ton of them, and they're flying off the shelves. He's been pumping my tutorial on the build and everything, and they've been flying off the shelves. So if you're in the market for an S9 space heater so you can get some non-KYC sats while you heat your home, if you're going to be running a space heater anyways, this is a good way to do it. So check them out. Also, how was everybody's Halloween? I'll show you what I wore. So here's my inspiration. This is Zoolander. He's, if you've seen Zoolander, you know what's up. But anyways, I put him in a Bitcoin mine. And so I did the same. So I was a really, really ridiculously good looking Bitcoin miner. So that was me. What did you go? What did you go as? Was it Bitcoin related? Speaking of Mutiny Wallet earlier, I did a tutorial on Mutiny Wallet this week. Pretty badass, I've got to say. So again, automated channels, Lightning service provider in the back end, fully self-custody. It has integration with Noster, so you can integrate all your Noster contacts and you can use Noster Wallet Connect, so it auto zaps from your Noster wallet without having to navigate out of your mobile app. And you don't even need the App Store to get it because it is a progressive web app. So you go to the website, you go to the top of your browser, hit install, and it'll show up as an app, and then it gets rid of that browser thing. And you back it up with a regular seed phrase, and recovery is just seed phrase entry if you need to use it. So yeah, pretty badass. Check it out. It's really cool. I enjoy it. And there seems to be a lot coming from them in the future. So I'm sure it's not the last time we'll be covering it as a video. And then finally, tomorrow, why are we bullish? Stoked for this one. This one should be a good one. We've got Wicked. He's coming to the show. Everybody that I was talking about pretty much is on the show tomorrow. Wicked is coming on. We also got Rustin from Simply Bitcoin. He's been killing it. Best podcast voice in the game. And then, of course, we've got Rick from Cloaks. He's coming to join the gang. And we're going to have a good old time on a Friday night. Maybe come join us. Have a beverage. Partake. Should be a good time. So don't miss it. Tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's Friday. And that's it, everybody. This was a good one. Thanks for being here. Of course. I hope you enjoyed it. Please do like, subscribe, share, all of those things. Super important. They really do help the show. That little like button is just down below. Make sure you tap it. Make sure you share it. And make sure you subscribe if you're not already so you don't miss a thing. You can also hit up the previously mentioned sponsors, HODL HODL, CoinKite, Seedor, Nunchuck, and Start9. And finally, by the way, those are all in the show notes as well. And finally, there's a QR code on the screen right now. And that QR code will lead you to my website where you can book one-on-ones with me. So if you need a little bit of extra hand-holding, you're setting up new hardware, you're dealing with multi-sig, privacy, nodes, whatever it may be, you can scan that. You can go, you can book me for a private one-on-one session if you need it. And if you're listening to this on the pod afterwards, it's just btcsessions.ca for the exact same thing. Anyways, guys, I am out. Have yourselves a wonderful day or evening. And I will be seeing you guys next time for your daily session. HODL the Bitcoin.